So we're back in Acts chapter 10. We're picking up on part two of this story about how Peter was praying to God about lunchtime, and he was given this vision. And in this vision, this sheet came down from heaven, had all these animals in it, and the voice from heaven said, "Take and eat." And Peter said, "No, not me. I'm a Jew. I would never do that. That would be unclean. Those animals are unclean. I would never eat those animals." Is this some kind of test? You know, is what we talked about. His reaction was very much like that. And God gave him the dream again and again, or the vision here. And so he didn't understand what this meant. And it was like one of those bad dreams where, like, you wake up and you had a dream about something and you're thinking, "Did I just dream that? I'm disturbed," you know. He woke up, he was still disturbed. And about the time this was happening, there was another guy having a vision from God. His name was Cornelius. He was a centurion, a Roman soldier, a Roman officer who was in command over 100 men. And he was a devout man. He feared God. He prayed regularly. And he's praying. And when he's praying, he has a vision. And in his vision, he's told to go get Peter. He doesn't know who he is, but he wants to bring him back. And the whole idea is to get him, to bring him back and hear what it is that he has to say today. So he has this vision. And so we talked about how Peter was told to come, and he came, and he went to him, and how this would be very unusual for a Jewish person to go to see a non-Jew, to see a Gentile, to go into their house, to have dinner with them, to spend any time with them. This was not something that was socially acceptable. Even though Cornelius feared God and believed in the God of the Jews, he was not fully converted to Judaism. And so in that way, a person who was a Jew, like Peter, would not associate with them still, because they would not consider them worthy to be associated with at that time. And we talked about how God doesn't make exclusions like that. And he's revealing more and more of himself and his plan, and how his plan was so much bigger than just the Jews. And we get the second part of the story here if you turn to verse 30, Acts 10, verse 30. And this is when Peter came to Cornelius. It says, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." So when Cornelius was praying, this ninth hour is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Jews at this time had 3 hours of prayer they would have throughout the day. And this was one of them. So they had these 3 hours dedicated. Now, that alone is a challenging thought to me. Here's this guy, Cornelius. He's a fear of God, the God of Israel, and he's following in this, that he dedicates time to prayer, and he very likely dedicated large portions or all of this hour to pray to God daily. Now, I'm not a legalist, but the thought that occurred to me was, hey, that there's something beneficial in that, to set aside certain times each day to pray to God. And that would be something worth trying, and I would encourage that as something to do. But this guy, Cornelius, he did it. So he was praying to God. It was the hour of prayer. And he says that this guy in bright clothing appears to him. And last week, I don't know if you were here, or not, a couple weeks ago when I did this message, I talked about how Cornelius heard from God. And I think every single one of us should want to hear from God. How many of you want to hear from God today? All of us should desire God's leading in our life, His just continued revealing of Himself and teaching us about who He is and what His character is and what He desires. We should want to know Him more, but we should want to hear from God. And I felt like very much like this guy, Cornelius, one of the reasons he heard from God was because God heard from him. He feared God. He prayed to God. He did this regularly. He put his attention on God. He wasn't, even though he was this high officer in the army, it'd be kind of like being in the Marines. He was over 100 men. He had a very important job. But he feared God. He trusted God. He looked to God for his direction and his wisdom. And I believe that a large reason why he heard from God was because God was hearing from him. And I think that if we pray more and we talk to God more, I'm not saying God is going to come speak to you in words or appear to you as an angel, but you'll have more and more guidance in your life when you turn to God. When you look for him, when you seek him, you will find him. And he'll come to you and he'll lead you in that way. Amen? Now, can somebody give me a witness to that? Is that true? Is that true? When you turn to God and when you seek him, that you'll find him and he'll come and he'll speak into your life. And here, this is a really major event, but Cornelius was ripe for that. And he hadn't yet really come to know Jesus as his Savior, but God had been in the process of making his heart ready to hear the facts of the gospel. So, picking up in verse 31, this guy in the bright clothes, he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered before God. The angel is telling him that God has paid attention to your prayers. He has heard them and he has seen the alms. Those are the kind things that you've done for those in need around you. He's seen you, Cornelius. He's noticed. He's paid attention. Earlier in the story, it talked about that being a memorial. Now, I thought about this week. Have you ever been in a situation where you really wonder what somebody thinks of you? Like, I remember when I was playing football, especially in college, when I was just trying to really make my way on the team, I really wondered what my coaches thought of me. Did they think that was I in their plans for the future to really have a lot of playing time, or was I just kind of there just spending myself, wasting my time? But I really wanted to know. And sometimes it gets a little glimpse of what they think of you and you'd be like, oh yeah, that's just energy to like move forward. And maybe for some of you, it's your dad. What does my dad really think of me? And just a little glimmer of what he really thinks is strength for you to go forward. For some of you, maybe it's your mom. Maybe you grew up in a single home where it was just your mom, and your mom was very much like your dad too. And what is it that your mom thinks of you, and that means so much to you? Or maybe it's some work situation or something like that. But I feel like for Cornelius, man, this must have just been real boost for him that God sent an angel to him and he said, "I've heard your prayers. I've seen your alms. I've paid attention. I've noticed. I've made notice of you, Cornelius." It must have really been encouraging for him. And so I think that this was exciting, and it's exciting to think about the fact. Now, God may never send an angel and tell you that he's pleased with you, but you can absolutely have in your life a feeling of God's approval for who you are, for how you're living, for what's going on in your life. You can have a true peace through Jesus Christ that is like this. It's like the greatest dad in all the world saying, "You know what? I'm proud of you, son. I'm proud of you." And I thought of that as I read this and I looked at Cornelius. And so the angel comes and he says this, and he says, "Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea." So he says, go, or not go, but send. So send somebody. He knows that this is a man of authority and he can send people. So he says, send for this guy named Peter. He's also named Simon. He's staying with another guy named Simon, who's a tanner who lives by the sea. That was the basic message, to go and do that. Send for this man, to bring him back. And so this being a man who now was really probably impressed by the fact that an angel was there, and you know what happens when you see an angel, you're in awe and you're afraid. But he's given this order, and so being a man of recognizing authority and an order in his life and the authority chain that exists, you know, he sends people to go bring back Peter. So he says in verse 33, "So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." So not only did he send for him, but then he got all his friends and his family and he gathered around and he knew about what time they would come back. And they were very eager to hear what it was that Peter would say. Now he used all his influence that he had. He's probably a really respected guy, and God put him in this position and used him. He used all this influence to bring his family. He said, man, I had this dream, this happened, and he's coming back. You got to hear what he says. And he got everybody excited, and he put them together, and they were really eager to hear what God would say through Peter. And do you remember this from a couple weeks ago? Are you like that when you come to church? Are you very eager to hear what God will speak to your life through people that he puts up here that speak, that teach? But you know, we open the Bible and it's from God. It's not, hopefully it's not our message, but it's God. But do you come eager, ready, willing, with an open heart and open mind to hear what God's going to say to you through the Bible? And I would think, like, if we think about what kind of audience we should want to be, who we should want to resemble, this is a group of people that were eager to hear the Word. And that should be how we come to church. That should be how we come to Bible study and youth group. Relationships are great. But the most important relationship is between you and God, and you paying attention to what He's written you and what He's told you in His Word. Amen? Alrighty, so these guys were excited, and I hope we're excited here today too. How many of you are excited? Come on. It is okay to get fired up in church. Alright, so picking up here in verse 34, he says, so Peter opened his mouth and he said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, everyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. You see, Peter had grown up and lived all his life with the idea that because he was a Jew, that he was better than everybody else. He belonged to God's special people. And this is true. These were God's special people. These people were set aside. But God was using them to bless the whole world. He had said back in Genesis 18 that through the nation of Israel, all people, every nation in the world would be blessed. That includes you and me. We're part of all. And so, yes, it was very special to be a Jew, but it was part of God's plan to bless the whole world, all peoples everywhere. And Peter was coming to this realization that God does not play favorites. God is not partial. God, it's an even playing field with Him. That the foot of the cross is absolutely level. That Jesus died for everybody. That the gift was for everybody. That the good news was for everybody. It was for the whole world. And even though, you remember Jesus Himself said, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all my commandments. And somehow still in Peter's mind, he pictured that maybe going out and finding every Jew in every nation, but that the gospel wasn't really for everybody. But now he's realizing, he's having that aha moment that, you know what? Duh. Jesus said this. The good news is for every person, every skin color, every economic background, every country of origin, every social standing, every athlete, every non-athlete, every good reader, every poor reader, every educated person, every uneducated, every person, the rich people, the poor people. I mean, the message is for every single person on the face of this earth is that Christ died on your behalf for your sins. He has a free gift for you. He wants to give it to you. Peter was coming to that understanding. He says, anyone can be acceptable to God. You don't have to be Jewish. Now, how many of you are excited about that this morning? Because I don't think we have very many Jewish people here in our audience, okay? But we have a whole bunch of this that through Jesus Christ have been adopted into God's family. And we were not His people, but we've been made His people through Christ. All right, back in the text, he says, as for the word that He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. So just really briefly on that, he says, you know, what happened? God sent a message through Christ and what He did. This was the word that He sought. He sent it to Israel. He had a particular order, first to Israel, then to Samaria, then to the rest of the world. But God had a plan and an order. And this good news He sent through Israel. He says, "You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning with Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed." Don't you remember? You know what happened. You've heard about Jesus and about what he did and what happened. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So you've heard of Jesus. You know what happened. You know how he went around places and he healed people from their sickness and disease. People couldn't walk. He rose them up. People were possessed by demons and were being cast and thrown into fires and were hurting themselves. And he freed them from this oppression. That's Jesus. You remember him. You remember what he's done, what he did. And you've heard the stories. Now I want to tell you how that applies to you and what that means. He says, "And we were witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree." Very important. Peter says, "I was a witness. I saw it all. I saw the miracles. I saw all the good things that Jesus did. And then I saw how Jesus was put to death on a tree," it says here, but that's the cross. Another way it's called. It's sometimes called a tree, sometimes called a cross. They put him to death there. It says, "But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." So it says, he says, Jesus died. I saw it. I was a witness of it. He rose again. He appeared to us. He didn't appear to every single person, but he appeared to people that God chose. And we know from other places in Scripture here that he appeared to over 500 witnesses. And his appearing completely changed the mind of the people he appeared to and gave them all kind of strength. And he also equipped them with his Holy Spirit to do his work. And Peter was this guy that, you know, denied Christ, was afraid, ran off, scattered. But now God was working in his life, and through the Holy Spirit, he was now experiencing new courage that he never had before. And he was gifted to be a bold speaker for God. And so God had changed him. And now he's sharing, you know, how this happened. And he's saying, remember. But he's reminding them that he was an eyewitness. He saw exactly what happened. He says, "And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear. Not to all the people," okay, I read this already, "but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." So another thing important about that part is that Jesus wasn't just running around like a ghost at this point in time. He physically was there with a body. He had an appetite. He ate and drank with them. He was dead, and he came back in that body. Remember, he said, "Look at my wrists. Look at my side. Now let's have something to eat." Okay, so they were there. They saw that. "And he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead." We come to the kind of key verses in this whole thing right here. This would be one of them. What was it that Jesus had to say? He died. He rose again. He came back. He appeared to people. He had some very specific things to tell them. And one of the things it says here is that he told them that he was the judge of the living and the dead. He was the way. He had already told them this before. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." But the message that Jesus brought was that it was only through Jesus that we could be reconciled with God. He's the one. There are not many paths to God. There are not many options. There are not different options for different cultures. I mean, God has provided one way to be reconciled with Him, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so that is what Jesus wanted them to preach and to proclaim and to teach, because people needed to know that. In verse 43, it says, "To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." So he's saying, this is the message. This is what you're to proclaim. This is what it's about. Every single person, no matter what your background is, no matter what your culture is, no matter what things have happened in your past, no matter where you're from, no matter what color you are, no matter how rich or poor you are, every single person, if you believe in Christ, that He'll forgive your sins. And you have sins. We all have sins. The Bible teaches us that every single person is a sinner, and because of that, separated from God. But the good news is that every single person, everywhere, has the opportunity to respond to Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And to believe in Him, He says. You receive Him by believing in the things that He said and what He promised. And He promises us that even if we're sitting in our house playing gin rummy and a big old tree falls on us and squashes us because it's packed with ice and we're in the middle of a storm, that if we have believed in Christ and the promise that we have a life after this one, that it's not over at this point, that we believe in Him, we've received Him, and because we believe in Him, there's a part of our heart that's absolutely surrendered to Him, that He promises that through that faith He will save us and He will give us a life after this one that goes on for eternity and that this life cannot possibly even compare to. If you lived all your life here in very difficulty and pain and rejection and agony, it will never, ever, ever even compare to the goodness that God has in store for you in heaven in the life to come. There's no comparison. It's no different comparing that life with one that's just got everything that they possibly could want here. It's none of it is going to matter. It's all just going to look like junk when we get to heaven and we're there with Almighty God. Amen? And that is the good news. The good news is that it's for everybody. God loves us and He's provided a way for us to be made right with Him, and that's through Jesus on the cross. And our response is to believe Him and receive that free gift. I'd shared this in Sunday school about how kind of just, and I've mentioned this before, but just one of the thrills of my year was sharing Christ with this guy. He was in his 70s or 80s, and all his life he just hadn't got it figured out. He even went to Israel trying to figure it out, went to the Holy Land, just didn't understand this whole God thing and the cross. Something was just missing there. He was in church all this time and he was seeking, and I shared with him how heaven was just a free gift. It's just a free gift that all we do is receive it. We got to stop putting it on ourselves, but we just got to receive that free gift of God. And this guy, he had an aha moment, you know. And I hadn't told him anything that we probably hadn't said over and over again, that lots of people hadn't said, but just got to be there at the right time in the right place. And this guy received Christ, and then he called me afterwards, and he was all excited, and he had been struggling with lots of anger and difficulty, and it was just exciting. But it's exciting for him to know that our relationship with God, our forgiveness of our sins, our eternity with God in heaven, it's just a free gift. And all we need to do is receive that as a small child receives a gift. We're not saved because we go to church. You remember that old saying? Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger. You should come to church because it's an opportunity to learn and fellowship and serve Him and be part of a team. But that's your doing stuff doesn't make you Christian. So he's saying this message was, you got to believe in Christ. Now think about Cornelius. This was a man, his heart was soft towards God. God even noticed his prayers and the things that he did. And I mentioned this last week. I believe with all my heart that God works in us before we ever hear about Him, or He works, you know, before somebody tells us the facts of the gospel. God is already at work in our lives and our hearts, and He's softening hearts. And this guy Cornelius, his heart was so soft to God. He just had to hear that good news of Jesus. And it just was like a seed that just fell in like just really rich, really good soil waiting to take hold and to grow. And so Cornelius was not yet a Christian because he hadn't really understood this about Christ, but he was sure interested in God, but his heart was ready. And I just wonder if there's anybody here today where God has been working on your heart. You have a soft heart towards God, but maybe you haven't heard the facts that the Bible talks about, how the facts are that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, that Jesus died on the cross for us. And He loves us, and it's a free gift He wants to give us. Maybe you've never heard that. Maybe you've never understood that. Maybe you have had a soft spot for God, but you've just been trying to do good stuff. Do good things. Live a moral life. Maybe today is the day that maybe when God looks at your heart and He drops that seed in, maybe it's going to take hold today. It's going to grow. That can be today. And if you've already received Christ as your Savior, you've got to think about, what is my heart really soft towards God? Is it really soft towards Him? Do I have a place in my heart where God is just the Lord of my life? And I look at everything through His Word and what He says and His promises. Or is my heart rock hard? Am I guarded? Am I trying to prevent God from working in my life? You need to ask yourself that type of question. So I think when you hear something like this, when you hear about somebody's life and you think about your own, the thing to do is to think, I want to have a soft heart. I don't want to be hard-hearted. Now, this is exciting. We've got a Marine here, and we're reading a story about a military man, an officer, a centurion in the Roman army, over 100 men, just a manly man. You understand that, right? You know that God isn't just here for women. Like, a lot of times you'll see women being the ones that are very interested in God, and lots of growth in women, but God wants us to have some men in this church. Amen? He wants us to have men that want to be the spiritual head of their household, that want to be leaders, that want to be influencers, that want to influence those people around them and the relationships they have. Do we have any men in the church today? Any of you guys, do we have guys that want to step up and be men? Now, Linda was sharing about her book she was reading, Why Guys Hate Coming to Church. And I'm sure the book has a good idea, but can this be an environment where just men love to step up and just love to serve God and be part of the church? Amen?
Amen.
How many of you guys are fired up about that?
Yeah.
You can fake it in here, but God knows the truth. So don't just fake out the pastor up here. If your heart has not been soft, today's the day. Ladies, God desires you too. You probably spent a lot of your life wanting to know whether you were worth it to Him, to anybody. Whether you were special. Whether you were valued. God values you so much that He sent Jesus to die on your behalf so He can adopt you as His child and you can be His princess. That's God. And He wants you, like we talked about at retreat, He seeks you out. I believe that you're here for divine purpose. He has made this appointment for you to be here. He wants you. He loves you. He wants you to be in a relationship with Him. He wants you to put Him first. That He's there. You need to respond to Him today. Your heart should be soft to Him. He longs for you. You are worth it. You are special. You're beautiful to Him. Amen? And He's got a plan for all of us to use us just the way He's made us. All right, so those are some of, that's kind of the heart of what He's saying. He's telling the people that you have to believe in Christ. Come to God through Christ and what He's doing. Don't come through your good works or your morality or anything else like that. He said, all the prophets bear witness to this. He's saying, you know, you've been interested in the Old Testament scripture. That is pointing to Christ. It's telling us, it's reminding us that now we as a people not only have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament. We have so much information about Christ and who He is that we have so much reason to believe and to trust Him. I would hope and pray that we could value the Bible as much as God does. That it would not be just a book that collects dust on our bookshelf. That's why I'm saying let's have a reading plan. Let's, as a church, just actually read the Bible together and we could talk about the same things. Kevin and I have been doing this and we've been seeing some of the same things. Kevin, have you had like a number of questions and things that you've run into? And more you read, more questions, but there's so much to talk about there if we would get into the Bible. So I would encourage you, no matter who you are, to take a look at your bulletin, that reading plan. I took it out of the Daily Bread, so if you have the Daily Bread, you can read it there. Let's start reading the Bible together. So let's get on track together. Now, if you want to start in Genesis and catch up to where we are, you can. But you also can start right there, right where we are, and join us and read together. How many want to do that? A couple people want to do that? I would just encourage you, just challenge you to do that. There are going to be some hard things to read, but it'll be well worth it. So while Peter's sharing this with them, he's telling them the truth. He's giving them the good news. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. So as he's saying this, it talks about the Holy Spirit falling, coming on them. All right, so here is what happened. He shared the word. They understood the truth of Christ, and they believed. And when they believed, they were saved. And when they were saved, God gave the Holy Spirit to them, just like He does you and me. When we're saved, when we hear the Word, and we hear the good news of Jesus, and we come and we believe, that God gives us His Holy Spirit. And now He was giving His Holy Spirit to this Gentile group. But what's so amazing to me as I think about it, I think this must have been the case that every single person in that audience, every last one heard the gospel and believed it and received the gift. It doesn't say that it fell on some of them. It's like every single last one of them heard the good news and believed. And I think about like this group here today and how we're here. Like we could have a Sunday where just every single one of us respond to God. Every single one of us that doesn't believe could come to believe. Every single one of us that's a believer, we could leave here with hearts just made soft to Him. But that was just the full body of people that were there responded to God. And I don't know about you, but that's just terribly exciting to me. And it's exciting to me to think about us as a congregation, that we can have that kind of response. It says that the Holy Spirit fell on them. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. So the guys that were with Peter still didn't get it. And they were like, wow, you mean God's Holy Spirit, this is going to come to the non-Jewish people also? They still were amazed because they still didn't grasp that the good news of Christ and God's Holy Spirit was for anyone who would come to Him through the cross. It says, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Extolling is like praising enthusiastically. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That then they asked him to remain for some days. So, these guys, where the Holy Spirit fell on them, they started manifesting this by speaking in tongues and all these things that we don't see all the time. And I don't read this and think, oh, we got to do that for the Holy Spirit. You know, because when we read the Bible and we look at it, really, the strongest evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we bear fruit of the Spirit. Joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, those things. That would be evidence that the Holy Spirit. But it's absolutely biblical that we saw, especially during this time of Acts, that God's Holy Spirit was falling on people. And they were speaking in these tongues that were amazing. And sometimes people could understand them in their own language, even though it was a different language. But God was making it obvious that something big had happened. His Holy Spirit had now come to a new, brand new group of people, the Gentiles. And that's you and me. But these guys, like I said, were still amazed and they still didn't get it. But Peter got it now, and he was going to set things up for another guy to come named Paul, who's still named Saul. But we have heard recently that he became a Christian. In Acts here. And it says then that they had Peter stay with them for several days. All right. Let me try this. James, is that plugged in? There we go. All right, let's just close out with some thoughts about today. Some thoughts about us today. And I've put a lot of thoughts about today already in here, so there's plenty to choose from. But here's some that I came up with. The main thing is, we're called to believe in Jesus to save us from our sins. And that would be acknowledging that we have sin. There are no perfect people in this room. We're all sinners. We all continue to sin. But it's believing in Christ to save us from our sins. Thinking of Cornelius, even though he was a soldier, he feared God. So you and I should fear God. This would be like having an appropriate reverence and respect for Him, being in awe of Him. Really understanding that He is the boss and He is in control and our life is in His hands. Having that level of fear and trust for Him. I think of about this 3 hours of prayer that they had, you know, and I just think, meet with Him, meet with God regularly in prayer and in His Word. I mean, we just say it again and again and again. It's not us that has the message. The message is in here. Meet with God. Pray to Him. Be in His Word. But make regular meeting times. And I just think, I'm so challenged by those 3 hours that they had regular meeting times. And sometimes I'm so busy. If I don't get it done in the morning, it doesn't get done. And I get to the end of the day wishing I had done it. But you got to carve out some meeting times with God. And that's what Cornelius did. And he was a great example to us. And as we think about the basic approach to the Christian life that God gives us, it's to be in His Word. It's to be in prayer, and it's to be guided by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us alone to understand the Bible. If we invite Him in, He comes in, His Holy Spirit, and He teaches us, He changes us, He encourages us. So be guided by His Holy Spirit. We're all called to take part in the Great Commission. I believe that with all my heart. And He talks about this. He says, preach. Preach is not just a bunch of da-da-da-da-da, but preach. We're all called to use our life as a message to get the point across that God is real, sin is real, Christ is real, He died on the cross, He loves us, He desires us, and He's calling us to Him. But preach Jesus Christ and the cross. I think, and I believe, that no matter whether we're the ones standing up talking and saying, our life is a sermon. It's a message to the world, to those around you. Think about this from this message. Don't play favorites. It's easy to play favorites. You know, you want to hang out with certain people. You know, certain relationships are helpful for you. Certain people, it's hard to be around. Don't do that. Avoid that. God doesn't play favorites. We shouldn't play favorites either. Amen? And I mentioned this again and again, that the gospel is for all people. Share your testimony. This is what He told them. He said to go and preach and be my witnesses and share your testimony. That means you should be somewhat of an open book that says, this is what God has done in my life. I can't prove it all to you. I know that I can't change your mind. But what I can do is I can share, this is how God has impacted my life. This is what He's done in my life. But you're to be a witness and you're to give testimony there. Tell your story. You all have an interesting story. There are no boring stories about coming to Christ. Don't believe that people aren't interested. That's one of the big myths in evangelism. Like, oh, people don't want to hear about me. They don't want to hear my story. I mean, like, people love stories. They love to hear that. They love to know you in that way. And so I think there are many interesting stories to hear. We need to open up our eyes, too. Like, many times we're not sharing the Word of God or doing that, or we're not preaching because we have not really valued the fact that God has put certain people in our lives and given us certain opportunities to share Christ with those people. Don't alter the message. So very important not to alter the message. So in this case, you have here the fact that the gospel, the good news, is for everybody, but the message doesn't change. There are a lot of different cultures and a lot of different understandings, but the gospel, the good news, the message is not adapted for different cultures and different times and different people. The fact is, the message is going to be rejected by some, by many. But all we do is we just give the message. We sow the seed, right? Think about this scripture here from 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So very important as you think about telling your story, as you think about impacting the world, the biggest impact is the cross. Sharing that message, putting that into people's lives. And to some people, that story about the cross and what I've said about Jesus is foolishness. They won't have anything to do with it. They'll be offended by it. They'll think that you are out of your mind for believing it. But it says in the Bible, but to those of us who are being saved, that message, that unchangeable message, is the power of God. Amen. So just remember, some will reject it. But it's the message. So God is open to all people. He loves everyone. But everyone has to come to Him through the cross of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this story. Thank You for our youth. Thank You for our electricity. Thank You for Your love in our lives. Thank You for bringing us through this week. And Lord, also, I know some here have recently lost loved ones. Lord, I pray for comfort today and strength. Pray for Janelle and her family, Lord. Just lift them up to You. Pray for them during this time. Pray for Your light to just be shining in their lives, Lord. And that our families and people that we know that don't know You would be able to grasp hold of this truth that Cornelius did. We thank You, we love You, we praise You, and now we just want to sing with all our hearts to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.